Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Today's episode is thanks to our Patreon members and our affiliates and partners. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to join our membership or donate to the podcast, and stay tuned to hear about some amazing deals and discounts from our partners, including Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, and Jen and Carrie. But for now, we're getting right to the show. Enjoy. Hi, fans. This is going to be a really short episode because it is 9 o'clock on a Friday night and I'm absolutely exhausted, but I just had this like topic on my mind, and it's been on my mind for a while now. And I've been thinking like, I should do an episode about that, but I haven't had time to really like sit down and think about it and think about what I'm going to say. Well, something happened to me today that like, again, triggered my mind to think I need to do an episode about this. And here I am at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. My husband had to step out quickly, and some kind of like the kids are asleep and it's quiet. And I'm like, you know what? Just get behind the mic and start ranting. So I'm about to rant, and hopefully what I say is good. So I want to share some personal experiences recently as to why we should not comment on people's bodies, even when we think it's like a good thing. So society, let me set the stage here. Society thinks that weight loss is a good thing and that weight gain is potentially not a good thing. Now, I do not believe that. I do not inherently believe that. I do not believe that weight loss is an obvious or, you know, a given truth to be a good thing. And I do not believe that weight gain is inherently a bad thing. I can think of so many examples as just a human in this world, as a dietitian, as a medical professional, that weight gain is good. You know, I have two little babies right now. Every time they're gaining weight when we go to the doctor's, like, that's a good thing. Oh my gosh, they're growing so strong. Great. You can think about that with children all throughout their childhood, all throughout adolescence. Weight gain is a good thing. We can think about athletes and even just going to the gym, even if you don't really define yourself as an athlete per se, but you're like starting a gym routine for whatever reason. I had a client reach out to me recently that, you know, she's a little concerned because she hasn't lost weight, which is a different story because I don't have a weight loss focused program, but she is hitting new PRs in her squats and her deadlifts. And so she's gaining muscle, right? And so she's actually gaining weight because she's gaining muscle and gaining performance. So there's so many instances as an athlete, whether competitive or recreational, where that weight gain can actually be a really good thing. So it can be the opposite. Like, society wants you to think that weight gain is a bad thing, but it, for so many people, can be a really good thing. And then, yeah, I can keep going on and on with examples, but again, shifting to the fact that society wants you to think that weight loss is a good thing when actually it can sometimes not be a good thing. When weight loss comes at the expense of losing your health, losing your strength, losing your muscle, losing your energy, losing your hormones, losing your patience. There's so much we can lose. Maybe it's losing that freedom around food in your life and losing happiness, right? There's a lot actually that weight loss might not be a good thing for so many people. And going down the route of being a dietitian too, it's like, well, with weight loss, did you drastically cut your intake to where now you're iron deficient or B12 deficient, vitamin D deficient? Like, there's so many negatives that could come with weight loss as well. So society wants you to think weight loss good, weight gain bad, But that is not the truth. That is not inherently true. And this is why commenting about weight or body size to other people can be so dangerous, because you might be making a comment that's kind of feeding into these societal standards, and you have no idea what is going on behind the scenes with this person's life and their personal life and what's truly going on with them. You don't know where they started from, where they're going, where they've been, what their journey is, what their health is like. You do not know what they're eating in a day. You might have ate lunch with them, but you don't know what they ate the rest of their day. You don't know what they ate for breakfast. You don't know what they're eating after lunch. And even if you do, you still don't, you're not their dietitian or doctor to understand their metabolism or their goals or their health history, their past medical history. And so let me just jump to the chase here and share with you my personal situation. In having a baby, your body changes a lot. It is an obvious change. If you have vision, you will see it. You will see that change in somebody. And, you know, there's so many parts of that change that is exciting. You know, it can be exciting for people to recognize, oh my goodness, are you having, like, you're having a baby, which, you know, we can have a conversation about that and how dangerous of a topic that can be too, but I digress. Like I said, I'm going to try and keep this recording short. But, you know, it can be exciting that people, you know, notice that. Okay. Now, in the postpartum period, it's a little more challenging. I think that there can be pressure on women's bodies to return to normal really quickly or to have it all together. And the postpartum period is extremely difficult for a variety of reasons. Life adjustment, life change, caring for a newborn is hard. Hormones are all over the place. Postpartum depression is a real issue. And if it's not postpartum depression, there's something called the baby blues, and it just affects your lifestyle. Time is a big issue to dedicate to yourself. If you don't have family or childcare, I mean, you don't have time to take care of yourself. So the idea of like bouncing back into your body or what it was before pregnancy, it may never happen, or it might happen very slowly. It's so much pressure on society for moms and new moms to like have it all together postpartum. And it's not the reality. And I think most women who go through it know it, but we still feel that pressure. And so with that being said, I did have with Levi after giving birth to him in May, I want to be upfront. I did lose baby weight rather fast. And I remember about 4 weeks later, I was actually dropping Gabe off at daycare. He goes to daycare just about 15 hours a week so that I can get some work done. Or at that point in time, it was so I could pay attention to Levi, the newborn. And, you know, somebody at the childcare center, you know, mentioned, they said, "Didn't you just have a baby?" I said, "Yeah, he's 4 weeks old." And their eyes widened and they were like, "Oh my goodness, you look, you know," and they made some comments about how I looked and referencing how quickly I lost the weight. And I told them the truth because I was so uncomfortable with hearing that feedback. I was so uncomfortable with it. I told them, "Yeah, we just got home from the NICU. I've been living in a hospital for the last 3.5 weeks. My baby almost died and it's been incredibly stressful. That's why I lost weight so fast. That's why. This was not a good thing. That was not a compliment for me to receive. It was not, I would not wish that situation upon anybody ever." Did I feel good about my body? No, because I didn't feel good about my life. I didn't feel good about my newborn baby. Why would I be happy to receive a comment like that? I was not, that angered me, because I would gain 50 pounds if it meant that my son's condition could go. I would gain 100. I don't care. I don't care. If I could wish this situation away for my son, I would, no matter what weight that put on my body. I wasn't happy about losing the baby weight. Here's more to add to that. In fact, actually losing weight that fast, I almost felt like I didn't look like somebody who just had a baby. Isn't that crazy? I felt like I wasn't getting the validation that I needed as a woman who just had a baby and was going through that really hard time in my life, because maybe I didn't look like that. Isn't that weird and messed up? That's a little weird and messed up, but it, you know, sometimes we need that validation from people that, you know, to see you breastfeeding a baby or still, you know, just having that like postpartum body potentially and validating, yes, this is the phase of life you're in, but I was deprived of that. I was incredibly stressed and scared and worried and in the hospital and not sleeping. And I didn't get to breastfeed Levi. I tried to for a little bit until we realized it was hurting him. Back up for anybody just jumping into this episode. My son was born with a very rare autosomal recessive genetic disorder that we weren't aware of beforehand. He cannot digest breast milk among a bunch of other things as well. And you can listen to some past episodes to catch up on that. But yeah, I felt like when I received that comment too, it was like, yeah, well, that's because I'm not in my postpartum, or I'm not breastfeeding anymore. Like that was taken away from me. And then my body shifted hormonally and didn't have to like produce that. And it just like everything changed, right? And so I felt that receiving that comment too was almost like this weird slap in the face that I wasn't looking like a mother might postpartum, right? I wasn't breastfeeding. I didn't have that look to me. And that hurt. That actually hurt me. So this was not a compliment. This hurt me. And the reason why on a Friday night at 9 o'clock at night, I'm doing it again is because I actually, for the first time in many, many months, was able to get a massage today. Like first time in like a year. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time. We do finally have some nursing help with Levi. We have about 30 hours a week of a nurse that's coming, and it's really helpful to take care of his G-tube, give me tips and tricks to help care for him better, and just frankly monitor him. He requires pretty consistent monitoring throughout the day, and not just as a baby, but with his condition. And it really makes doing anything else very difficult because of the constant monitoring. So we had a nurse, and I went to go get a massage, and it was a great massage. So if by any weird off chance reason my masseuse is listening to this, she was a very good masseuse. She did a great job. But upon walking in, she asked me, you know, anything that we need to work on today, any sore spots. And I let her know. I said, I haven't had a massage in a really long time. I'm 4 months postpartum. My entire body hurts with everything I've been through. I've got tight shoulders from carrying a baby all the time. Sometimes my arm goes numb and like just all my joints are kind of achy. And, you know, like, yeah, I just like physically don't feel that great right now. And here I am saying that I don't feel good. And the first comment out of her mouth was, wow, you look great for being 4 months postpartum. And wow, did that rub me the wrong way once again? Because I'm like, I just told you how bad I feel. I just told you how bad I feel. I'm so sleep deprived. My joints hurt. My arm goes numb multiple times a day. My shoulders are tense. I do not feel good. But she's like, but you look great. I'm like, nope, not what I care about. That is not what I care about. And I don't know that this was the right thing. So listeners, I'm not perfect. I don't always have the right answers, even in my own field. Okay. I don't always have the right answers. I am a dietitian. I am a professional. I am a coach to many, many female athletes and clients, and I'm pretty darn good at my job and what I do, but I'm also still a human being, and I have my vulnerabilities and I have my weak moments. And so I don't know if this was the right response or not, but when she made that comment about like, well, you look great for 4 months postpartum, you know, I almost felt like I had to justify it in a weird way. And I said, oh, well, I'm not breastfeeding. I, you know, my son can't do that. So I said, my hormones kind of bounced back to normal kind of quickly. Like, that's what I said. And it was weird because I was like, why am I justifying this? Because also like that, honestly, that's probably not the right answer, because other people might, frankly, to be 100% honest, now I'm speaking from a professional standpoint, during times of stress, you know, there's two routes that you can go down. During times of stress, your body can be hypermetabolic, hyperactive, and burn through energy incredibly quickly. You're hypermetabolic, and that's why you lose weight. Or maybe during times of stress, you're so stressed that you can't eat. That's not good. That's malnutrition. So during times of stress, sometimes people can lose weight. Okay, during times of stress, sometimes people also gain weight. They gain weight because we are so stressed out that cortisol is really high, which actually kind of prevents you from burning calories so much. You're in this like storage mode, in this saving mode. Your body is in such a state of stress and inflammation that it's holding on to everything for protection. So that happens during times of stress. We can also see, I don't want to say emotional eating, but you know, eating just like consistency that's off, I might say, of like, I'm so stressed throughout the day, I don't have time to eat. But then, oh, finally at night, I do have time to eat. Or maybe it's not even at nighttime, but it's, you know, just kind of cyclical. If I didn't eat much all week long because I was so stressed, so busy, so whatever. And then when I finally did get a chance to eat, you know, on Thursday night or throughout the weekend, you know, I ate a lot or overate or just ate differently. And it's that metabolic inconsistency, be it throughout a week or throughout a day, that can actually contribute to weight gain. So this is really important that I want to stress. My story right now is not what always happens during times of stress.
Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation so far, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. But first, I want to pause and let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track to overcome disordered eating and use food as fuel to perform at your highest level. The Female Athlete System of Transformation is my unique program and proven systems to guide female athletes to understanding and implementing the proper nutrition for their sport, life, and health. Myself and my team of registered sports dietitians work one-on-one with clients to address their unique needs and counsel them through the nutritional and behavioral changes needed. Many female athletes who resonate with disordered eating, mental guilt around food and body, relative energy deficiency in sport or female athlete triad, amenorrhea, repeat injuries due to negligent nutrition, or frankly, just a lack of knowledge and understanding on their fueling needs, have seen incredible success in the Fast Track. After years of working as a sports RD, I've compiled the most effective ways for female athletes to learn nutrition, be supported, be challenged, and ultimately find their success with fueling as fast as possible. So don't wait another day. Get to your goals faster by joining the Female Athlete System of Transformation. Look in the show notes or head to the website to book a free call and learn more. Okay, now let's get you back to the conversation. Enjoy.
And so that's why, like, for me with this situation with what happened with the masseuse, where I almost like felt like I had to justify it, you know, that wasn't even the right response, because it could have been the opposite, right? It could have been that, oh yeah, I'm not breastfeeding. Like, my body went through the ringer, stress, my son, his condition, blah, blah, blah. And therefore I've gained a ton of weight, right? It could have gone either way. So I didn't need to say anything to her at all. Or I could have just said, oh, I actually don't care about how I look because I don't feel good. And that's why I'm here today, to focus on me feeling better, to focus on me doing some self-care for myself. You know, these conversations are hard. That's why I said I'm not, I don't have all the answers, but I think just talking honestly and openly about it might help, right? Society might think that telling people that they look great postpartum doesn't even have to have anything to do with having a baby. Oh, you look so fit as an athlete. Or, wow, I can tell you're really like motivated for your workouts. I can tell, you know, your body looks great. Like, those comments that we think are compliments can be so unhelpful for people, because now it means that when they do put on 5 pounds for any reason whatsoever, because they couldn't get to the gym as often during the season of their life, because their sport ended, because they got injured, because they got busy, because a traumatic event happened in life. It's like, you gave them a compliment when they lost weight, but life happens and now we've gained weight. And now what's happening in my mind is, oh, you noticed when I lost weight. Are you now noticing that I'm gaining weight? And that's what happens to people. If you comment on people's weight loss, that puts it in their head that, ooh, you noticed, you looked at me, you made a judgment that weight loss was good, So now I have an inherent fear of gaining weight. Or if and when I do gain weight, I feel bad about myself for doing that. I'm ashamed of that. I feel guilty. I'm depressed. I'm stressed about it. And that's not how it should be, because weight fluctuates throughout life. Weight is always fluctuating. It is normal to lose weight during some periods of your life, and it is normal to gain weight during other periods of your life. And we do not know, as somebody just witnessing somebody else, as somebody with vision that's seeing somebody else's body, we have no clue what they are going through. Are they in an off season? Did they just go through a traumatic event? Have they been pursuing, you know, career or family over their sport right now? Like, why is that bad? That's not necessarily a bad thing. And does that affect weight? It might on some people. It might not on others. You don't know, because you don't know their metabolism. We don't wear our metabolism, you know, on our shirts or on our forehead like a scarlet letter. Nobody knows that about you. And it is not fair for somebody else to make a comment about it. And I want to go one step further to why this has been bothering me too. So very interestingly, and I'm being very open right now, but I'm comfortable with that. Levi's condition is genetic. We do have a geneticist on our team that we're working with. So we now know that there's a 25% chance that any child we have would have this condition, and a 50% chance that any child we have is a carrier. We don't know what my first son, Gabriel, is. He might be a carrier here. He might be the 25% chance that he has nothing, right? That's just how genetics work. Anyways, Levi is an all-star. He is beautiful. He is crushing it. He is resilient. We are taking care of him, and he's going to be fine. He's going to play sports. He's going to go to college. Like, he is just such an amazing little baby, and he's my little blessing, and I'm so grateful for him. With that being said, I wouldn't willingly, you know, wish this upon a child or a baby of my own. And so with that being said, the moment that it was wise enough to go on a form of oral contraceptives, I did, because I'm not looking to have another baby anytime soon. Levi's just 4 months old, and kind of knowing that risk now, that the risk of this condition. So I went on birth control, and I've been on it in the past, and I might try it again in the future. But just to summarize, it did not go well from a variety of reasons, but one being my emotional state, my mood, my mental state. I mean, my husband noticed it within about 2.5 weeks. He noticed a difference in my mood. And by 6 weeks, he was like, I look like you're not you. And I was like, I don't feel like me. I did not feel like me. But there was a lot going on in my life. So there was a lot going on. So I don't want to get too far into that. But I will state this. I had started to receive those comments already about that, you know, I didn't look like I just had a baby, you know, that I had lost weight, blah, blah, blah. And wow, you look great for being 4 weeks postpartum, for being 6 weeks postpartum, whatever. And then within a week of being back on birth control, I gained weight. I felt it first. I felt it. I physically felt it. I don't weigh myself often. I don't recommend that. But I do have a scale in my house because I have a pretty good relationship with a scale. But I could feel the weight gain. I could feel the puffiness. I could feel the tightness in my pants. Now, was this a bad thing? No, it wasn't a bad thing. But I felt it. I noticed the difference. And I did step on the scale out of curiosity. And there was a difference in the number. And even why I know my number beforehand, it was kind of like, I'm being 100% honest with you. I do really have a good relationship with the scale. I'm not weighing myself regularly. I weigh myself periodically. And I kind of use it. I honestly, too, have only really been doing that throughout pregnancy. Third trimester, I stopped weighing myself because there did come a point where kind of like, it was cool to see the weight gain of like, oh, baby's growing, I'm growing, all that. And then it came a point where I was like, I don't really care. I don't care what it is. So I actually don't know what my weight was at like during third trimester. I think I stopped somewhere around second trimester, midway into or nearing third trimester. And it was like, okay, I'm up there. I've been gaining weight and baby's going to keep gaining and I'm going to keep eating. And I don't know what my like final or highest or official weight, what? I don't know. And so in the postpartum period, I also don't know how quickly or how much I lost either. But I do know I stepped on it at some point and saw a number. And then when I went on birth control and about a week later, I stepped on it again and saw a higher number, by about 5 pounds, which I don't think is very much at all in the grand scheme of life and everything. But it was just interesting that within 1 week, and I thought to myself, like, is that birth control? Is that just other things? I don't know. And like, then like the next week, it was also up there. Now, was this a bad thing? No. Did I make a decision for my health that I needed to? Yes. And I want to be clear about this too, because I've heard so many people be scared about going on birth control because they're like, oh, am I going to gain weight? Here's the thing. If you don't want to have babies, that's an option. There's other options too. There's other options too. But like, do you want to have a baby or do you want to gain 5 pounds? By the way, that won't happen to everybody. I was on birth control for many, many years in my 20s, and I don't think it affected my weight at all. It didn't notice a difference from when I wasn't on it to when I was on it. And then when I eventually got off of it, didn't notice a difference from getting off of it. So that was not a thing for me then. A lot was going on in my life this summer, postpartum, stress, everything. And then throwing the birth control in there. The main reason that I decided 6 weeks later to get off of it is because of how it affected my mental state. I was already not in the best mental state, and this, I think, made it worse. And my husband agreed with that, and we, you know, made a plan as to how to deal with that. So anyways, that got in my head, though, because people had started to comment on weight loss, and then boom, suddenly I was gaining weight. And I want to be very transparent about my nutrition, too. What's the acronym? IDGAF. IDGAF about my nutrition during postpartum. Like, when I say that, I wanted to eat to survive, basically. That's about it. If somebody made me food, I was going to eat it. If somebody brought me food, I was going to eat it. I did not have time to cook. I did not have time to grocery shop. I did not have time to care if it was an organic farm to table made from home scratch, high protein, antibiotic, probiotic rich meal, or if it was Cheetos and McDonald's. IDGAF. I didn't care. I needed food. Someone was going to feed me. Awesome. Cool. That was my postpartum experience. And I have no shame or guilt around that. There did come a time when, because I recognized, oh my gosh, I'm stressed, I'm low on energy, that I did have to hold myself accountable of, oh my God, you know what? I'm going to make these energy bites really quick, or I'm going to put in a grocery order and like buy more snack foods, buy some protein shakes, buy some yogurt drinks that I can just quickly grab out of the fridge. You know, I did hold myself accountable to, hey, I can't just rely on other people because it does mean that I'm under fueling. And so I did kick myself into gear to buy convenience foods, to make that one snack once a week, or to make a big pot of chili that was going to last me all week long, or to meal prep some breakfast because I found that breakfast was always the hardest. So I, you know, about 3 months postpartum, what am I now? I'm 4.5 months. About 3 months postpartum, I was like, Lindsay, like you need to help yourself now, right? And so I did start to do that, and I felt better since doing that. But to get back to what I was saying about, like, I had received those comments about weight loss, but then I went on birth control combined with sometimes I was under fueling throughout the day because life was so chaotic. It was not intentional. It was just very difficult. And then at night, it was like this stress relief of kids are asleep, and it would be at 8:30, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I am tired. I am hungry. And I ate food. Again, I didn't care what it was. It could have been a bowl of cereal. It could have been ice cream. It could have been both a bowl of cereal and ice cream. It could have been trail mix. It could have been popcorn. It could have been cheese and crackers. It could have been, you know, a beer and pretzels. And that was another thing too. I did kind of start to have a little bit of alcohol at that point too. I wasn't breastfeeding. But I didn't have much actually, which is another story, just because of Levi's condition. I didn't feel comfortable having alcohol in my system because I did need to be on constant alert, but that was just something that I did reintroduce. And then I found myself backloading my day, right? Like kind of underfueling throughout the day, but then kind of allowing food to honestly be an emotional release. And it was an emotional release. It was a form of self-care and relaxation. And I do not feel bad about that. I don't. Hear me loud and clear. I don't feel bad about it. Was I emotional eating? Yeah, sometimes I was. I had a lot of emotions. I had a lot of emotions. And it was part of my coping. Did food solve my problem? No. Did food take away Levi's condition? No. But was putting on sweatpants, sitting on the couch, snuggling up with my husband, and snacking away part of how we coped with our emotions. Sometimes we cried, sometimes we laughed, sometimes we vegged out on a show to get our mind off of things. And food was part of that, and it helped us cope during that time. It wasn't wrong. It was helpful, and I would do it all over again.
Thanks to Inside Tracker, I can get insights and feedback on my blood biomarkers whenever I want to. No more waiting for doctor's visits and them telling you, you're fine. Instead, you are in control of your health with Inside Tracker. For 20% off any of their products, blood biomarker testing, DNA kit, interage, head to InsideTracker.com and use the code RISEUP. Take your health into your own hands. Health, wellness, and fitness coaches, listen up. Practice Better is the all-in-one platform that I use to manage my business and my clients. From client scheduling and messaging, hosting sessions, taking notes, creating modules, invoicing, telehealth, building reports, and more, Practice Better is the better way to manage your practice as a nutrition or health or fitness coach. Look no further. Use the link in our show notes and use the code RISEUP20 for 20% off your first 4 months plus a 14-day free trial. I've been using Practice Better since the inception of my business, Rise Up Nutrition, and I couldn't be happier. Again, the code is RISEUP20, all caps. Use the link in our show notes for 20% off your first 4 months and a 14-day free trial. Let's get back to the episode.
That's a little bit of a side topic of like when and how emotional eating like is okay. It's okay if eating is part of your emotions. That's okay. But getting back to the topic of like comments, there was this period, right? I lost weight wicked fast. And then suddenly between the birth control, between maybe some like backloading kind of emotional eating late at night, underfueling during the day, like I started to regain weight. Was it okay? Yeah, it was okay. But because people had already made comments to me about weight loss, I got self-conscious. Oh my goodness, I'm going to regain all the weight that I just lost. And I hate saying that out loud because I know better and I am better than that. But I also want to be transparent with as strong as I am in my body confidence. And I am strong in my body confidence. As good of a relationship as I have with the scale, as confident as I am in my marriage, as gracious as I am with myself and the choices I make around food and exercise, that thought still popped into my mind because other people, frankly, put it there. I'm not blaming other people. I'm just sharing with you how easy it is for comments about body size or weight to negatively affect somebody. I am confident in my body. I have no shame about my postpartum period and the choices I made. I am comfortable if I gain weight or lose weight. I don't care about the number on the scale. But because people commented, it put that thought in my mind of, oh, are people now going to notice my weight gain? And that was, guess what? That was the last thing I should have thought about with everything I was going through. That was the last thing. And so frankly, I did. I washed that from my mind. Like I was just like, yep, like that sucks, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to act on it. I'm not going to change my behaviors. I didn't change my diet. I didn't jump for help. Oh, I have an emotional eating problem. No, I didn't run to my doctor to, you know, complain about, I don't know. Like I didn't change my actions or behaviors. That thought popped into my mind and I thought to myself, wow, I can't believe you're having that thought, Lindsay. I'm going to dismiss it. And I kept doing what I was doing until I personally was ready to face other things of, like I mentioned, eventually I got to a point where I was like, Lindsay, you kind of do need to hold yourself accountable for eating better during the day. And by better, I meant more, having some more readily available snacks. You know, Lindsay, you actually do need to figure out this, you know, just these emotions and find time for self-care to cope more appropriately. And that was a journey for myself and my husband to do together and reach out to friends and family and find nursing care and our support, everything, right? Like, but these things take time. You can't fix these things overnight. They take time. And frankly, honestly, I'm like incredibly proud of us and how much we have navigated and sorted through in just 4.5 months. Like, I'm incredibly proud. Like, I feel like the last 4.5 months have felt like a lifetime with everything that we've gone through. Like, I'm like, has it really only been 4.5 months? It literally feels so long. So we have processed incredibly fast. I'm very, very proud. And we're still on this journey, but these things don't change overnight. So I eventually got to a point of being able to make some decisions for myself for self-care. What was the right thing for me hormonally? How can I take care of my nutrition better, to take care of myself better, to therefore take care of my family and my business better? But I didn't do it because of people's comments. And I think, so I want to summarize kind of like two things, because I said this was going to be a short episode and somehow I've already been recording for 35 minutes. So the two things I want to summarize is, first and foremost, to try your very hardest not to comment on people's body size, weight, or shape, because you have no clue what that person is going through or how they will then internalize that and interpret that. You are not responsible for how somebody else internalizes and interprets it. What you say is just a comment. And this is something I preach to my clients all the time, is like, you know, somebody can look at you and be like, oh my God, you have green hair. And you're like, no, I don't. I have brown hair. And we need to have that same response and like kind of like objective response. If somebody's like, oh my God, you lost weight, you can just be like, I don't know, I don't care. Like, let's move on. What time of day is it? You know, like, just a very like, take the emotion out of it, take the drama out of it, and don't feed into that story. So that, you know, that's something we have to work on ourselves independently. But I think also it's just a lesson in you trying to be very cautious as to what comments you make about other people's body sizes. And if you just reflect on your own journey and your own experiences, how did it feel when somebody told you you gained weight? How did it feel when somebody told you you lost weight? How did it feel when somebody told you you look great? And then how did it feel a year later when you didn't look like that anymore? And if you reflect on that, you might think twice about saying, commenting on somebody else's body size, shape or weight. So that's the first thing I want to say. I know it's hard. It's very hard. It's hard. But, you know, I think back to my masseuse today. I could have been like, I'm 4 months postpartum. I feel terrible. And she could have been like, wow, I'm so excited to help you feel better today. You know, like, she didn't have to say anything about how I looked. You don't have to say anything about it. So that is point number one that I wanted to make, is to really be cautious of the comments that you make about other people. And point number two, this is my vulnerability episode. I totally forget what point number two was going to be. What happens when you just jump behind the mic at 9 o'clock on a Friday and like just talk to yourself, basically. But point number two, let me think on it. Point number one, be careful of your comments. I don't know. Point number two is just like, you never give yourself grace in what you are going through. Your body is always changing. It is. It's always changing. Don't jump to try and fix things overnight. There might be, think about, why is it changing? I think maybe this is my point. Think about why is your body changing? And I don't mean why, like, oh, am I eating more calories? But like, more like, hey, like, yeah, you know what? I have been going to the gym more and I am lifting heavier. Maybe that's why my weight is going up, because I'm hitting new PRs. Cool. That's awesome. You know what? I haven't been sleeping well. You know, I haven't been sleeping well. Maybe that's why my weight is fluctuating. I don't know. Sometimes there's no reason at all, ladies. Sometimes there's literally no reason at all. And it's just like, oh, it's because I'm older. Oh, because I've been really busy. Oh, because I have other priorities in life. Oh, my body's changing just because bodies change. That's what happens. Nothing stays the same all the time. It doesn't. Your body is continually morphing, and you know that. In fact, if it does stay the same all the time, that's weird. That would be weird if it stayed the same all the time. That might even be disordered on some level. I don't know. I shouldn't pass judgment because I don't know. But like, we gain muscle, we lose muscle. We gain endurance, we lose endurance. We gain fat, we lose fat. We gain wrinkles, we use a cream and might lose a few wrinkles. We gain freckles that go away. Our hair lengthens and we cut it. Like, our body is just changing in so many ways all the time. And I think just kind of accepting this is just another one of those changes. Like, how can you look at it objectively and just be like, yep, that's happening. Cool. I'm like, how can you not necessarily jump to change anything? It's okay if you have a thought or make an observation and you don't necessarily have to jump to change it. Oh yeah, that was point number two. It just came back to me. Point number two is, you know, so many people kind of worry that am I going to have a lifetime of always worrying about food or weight or calories? Some people will claim that, you know, if you're going through disordered eating or an eating disorder, like it's kind of always part of you. I don't fully believe that. It might be a thought, but I think like my example, if it was a thought, it popped in my head, it kind of bothered me, but I did not act on it. And because I did not act on it, I was actually able to make the right choices for myself, my life, my health, my happiness, because I didn't jump to try and fix something that wasn't even a problem right away. You know, so like it is okay if a disturbing thought, if an irritating thought pops in your head, be it based on somebody's comments or otherwise, you know, give yourself grace for that. You know, it's just a thought. It doesn't have to have meaning. I don't have to do anything about it. I don't have to change what I'm doing. I don't have to imply good, bad, positive, negative on this thought. This was just a thought. It floated into my mind and I'm going to let it float on out. It's like clouds passing through the sky. So when I received that comment of, you know, oh, you've lost weight, but then I gained weight, and that thought came into my mind of, oh, are people going to notice I'm gaining weight again? That thought popped into my mind and I just let it float on by like a cloud and let it float out of my mind. And I did not change anything. I did not try and stop the cloud. I didn't try to bring it down. I'm going with a little silly cloud metaphor here, but like I just let it keep floating by. And so the thought popped in and the thought floated out. And that is why, you know, when people say, oh, I'm always going to deal with this, I think it's, you don't have to deal with it. You can, if you have that thought, it can be fleeting. It can be fleeting. So to summarize once again, sorry, I got a little distracted there with my own thoughts, but message number one, try your best not to comment on people's body size, shape, or weight, even if you think it's a compliment. You just don't know. And I think more often than not in society, it's somehow it gets skewed and it's not a compliment. It's not. Try to focus on other things. Ask how they're doing. Ask how they're feeling. Ask what's going on in their life. Ask if they need help. Try your best not to comment on people's body size, shape, or weight. Number two lesson is that if a thought pops into your own mind based on your body size, shape, or weight that is disturbing, disordered, negative, critical, try and just let it be like the clouds. The thought floated in and let it float on out. You do not have to act on it. You do not have to change anything. Just let that thought be and then it'll be not. Okay, I'm getting a little too metaphorical on a Friday night. Thank you for listening to my rant. I hope it was helpful and I hope it resonated. And last little comment, just to be not triggering to people, hopefully, is that this episode was not intended to like focus on my body shape or weight. It was just to share my personal experience that this can happen even to people who I feel that I'm really resilient to this topic. I feel that I have thick skin per se when it comes to this. And so I wasn't trying to share any like good or bad things about my body or my journey or make you feel any certain way about your body and your journey with weight, but really just share an experience that happened to me and maybe you resonate with it or learn something from it. That's all. I didn't want to compare my body to yours or weight loss or weight gain of what I went through to anything you're going through, if that makes sense. So I have compassion and understanding for whatever your body is going through, because I don't know. I don't know. That's you and your journey. And I think we need to take that approach to all of our friends and family and people we see online or coworkers and things like that we don't know what's going on. So who are we to judge what's going on with their body? Okay, I'm going to go sleep. Good night. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, if you are a true fan of female athlete nutrition, then I would love if you could support our podcast by spreading the word. Share a review on your listening channel. Give us 5 stars. It really helps get the word out and get the show more views to positively impact others.
Also, you can support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to consider a donation, or even better, join our membership where you get extra monthly content and perks. We don't want you to simply listen alone. We want you to be a part of a community and a movement of fierce, fit, and fueled female athletes. So patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition is where you can do exactly that, learn more, and join. A huge thanks to our affiliates and partners as well. Once again, Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, Jen and Carrie, please go check them out, and their links in the show notes where you can get deals and discounts. Last, be sure that you do more than just listen. If you need help with fueling, it's time to take action. Head to my website to learn more. You can either book a free call with me to learn more about our coaching programs and how we can work directly with you, whether it's the fast track or otherwise. Or you can take our online self-study course, Female Athlete Nutrition. You can literally sign up and gain access right now. You can explore our downloadable products, including the Red S Recovery Guide, High Iron Fueling Guide, or if you are a coach of a team, check out our brand new Coaches Toolkit for teams. You can also just learn more. We have a blog, a Red S quiz to see if Red S is affecting you. If you need help, I want you to get help fast. Too many girls and athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. You can rise up with the power of nutrition, take action today in any of these avenues, and become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.